So let's talk about your 65-year-old lady.
So this is a lady who was incidentally found to have lymphocytosis with a count of only 10,000. So we picked up a peripheral blood specimen to do flow cytometry, and that was performed. And once these data were analyzed in a couple of hours of getting the sample, we were able to tell that we have a lambda clonal B-cell disorder expressing CD19, CD20, lambda light chains. And the cells also showed co-expression of CD5, CD23, and FMC-7. The patient, for whatever reasons, did not want to have a bone marrow. And so the outside diagnosis, based on the morphology and the immunophenotype, somebody thought this was a case of CLL. But as I had said to you at the beginning of this, the patient got referred again and we did some additional testing. So there are very subtle differences when you look at the morphology to me. In CLL, most of the time you have classical small lymphocytes with very little cytoplasm. You may have a small number, of admixed larger cells that resemble pro-lymphocytes. So what you can get is what is referred to as a dimorphic type appearance, with a subset of them being large pro-lymphocytes. In mantle cell lymphoma, if you look carefully, what you see is a continuum, a spectrum of cell sizes. The phenotype, though, can be overlapping in some cases. So in the majority of CLL, what you have is dim CD20, dim surface IG expression, and you usually do not see expression of a marker called FMC-7. Mantle cell lymphoma also co-expresses CD5. It has that different morphology, and the spectrum of phenotype is different. But the point that I would make is that most laboratories who do flow and do a lot of flow do not use it to make definitive diagnosis. It is an ancillary test. You never want to look at flow without the morphology. Having said that, there are three types of lymphoid cancers that when they demonstrate the classical phenotype are almost diagnosable without even looking down the microscope. And those are cases of classic CLL, which was not in this case because there was aberrant expression of some markers. The other two diseases are classic hairy cell leukemia with its morphology and its characteristic phenotype. And when you see that, it's almost nothing else it can be. And the third one is precursor B lineage ALL. Strong CD10, strong CD19, absence of CD20, expression of TDT. With the exception of those three diseases, when they present absolutely classical, there are no absolutely robust phenotypes. You see a little bit of variation. Some follicular lymphomas don't express CD10. Roughly 5 to 7% of mantle cell don't express CD5. So if you're relying on expression of one marker to make a definitive diagnosis, you're going to be wrong in a subset of cases. So flow is very useful, especially in peripheral blood and bone marrow. It can help you narrow in on what the likely diagnosis is, but in some circumstances, you need additional testing. Now, in this case, this is a patient who refused to have a bone marrow. Had a bone marrow been done, one could have done some immunohistochemistry on the biopsy or the squash prep, could have done for cyclin D1, could have done for SOX11, etc. Those would have been very valuable. But in this case, because she refused to have a bone marrow, we simply performed routine FISH on the peripheral blood. The FISH turned up the presence of a translocation 1114 that is characteristic of mantle cell lymphoma. When the other clinical workup was done, she did not have lymphadenopathy, but she had mild splenomegaly. And so one could put sort of two and two together to realize this is actually an uncommon form of mantle cell lymphoma that is referred to as the leukemic sort of type. It often has mutations of IG because it's seen in the germinal center and often has, in contrast to typical mantle cell, this can have a very indolent clinical behavior. So this patient was simply watched and waited.